Good morning, and welcome to Ask the Pro, a paid commercial program. The opinions expressed are those of the participating clients and not necessarily those of the management and staff of WLVL. Ask the Pro is an informational-based program designed to advertise the product and or service of the client and to introduce them to the WLVL listening audience. Your questions and comments are welcome throughout the show. Just call 716-433-1433.
Good morning. Today is July 13th, Friday the 13th, Dr. Curbs.
Wow, my lucky day.
Yes, and you're listening to Ask the Pro here on WLVL 1340 AM with our very own Dr. Ken Curbs from Curbs Wellness and Chiropractic, Family Wellness and Chiropractic, I might add, because it is a whole family affair to stay healthy and stay well. Is that not right, Dr. Ken?
Absolutely. From birth to death, actually. So,
right.
You know. And that's where my practice reigns, from newborns on up through my current oldest patient is 97 now. So, and my newest youngest one is coming in this week at about 2 months old. So,
perfect.
Yeah.
And those people won't have a colicky baby, will they?
No, that doesn't. You know what? I mean, I've had many colicky babies brought in, but that is a situation that it is rare when you can't get that handled, you know, pretty quickly. You know, and yet in conventional healthcare, you know, they're just told, well, they'll outgrow it. You know, a baby screaming and yelling for hours and is telling me that something's wrong, and maybe we should look at that.
Right. Maybe they're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Maybe they're in pain.
They're incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah. Maybe that can be reconciled easily.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've seen such, I mean, not every baby responds like instantly, but I have had some, you know, instantaneous, almost miraculous changes, you know, in a baby who didn't sleep more than 2 hours in the first 3 months of its life, you know, after its first adjustment, slept 12 hours nonstop. To the point that the mother was very concerned.
Right. What's the matter with Junior? Yeah, how come he's sleeping so well?
But, and resolve the issue in a very short time.
That's right. So. Well, we would love for you to join the conversation, ladies and gentlemen, 433-1433 in the 716, because we know we have listeners to this program that are not only all around the country, but perhaps around the world.
They sure are.
Good stuff there. So 716-433-1433. Give us a call. What would you, the people, like to talk about this morning? Because pretty much everything is on the table. Am I not correct?
I'm open to anything, yes.
That's good. Hey, listen to this. We have a caller right now. Isn't that something?
Awesome.
All right. Oops. All right. Good morning, caller. You are on the air with Dr. Ken Curbs. How are you this morning?
Good, Eric.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Debbie, I need you to turn your phone down for me, please, or your radio down, okay?
I'll go in the other room.
All right, thank you.
You're going to make this old lady get up and walk?
Yep, I sure am. It's good for you. It's good for you. Help you out.
Is that better?
Much, thank you. Yeah, what is your question or your thought?
I got a question for Dr. Kurtz.
Sure.
I've had heart problems. They kept saying I was having a heart attack. Now they're saying, no, it's my high blood pressure, and they put me on all these medications that I probably don't need. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that.
You know, it's interesting. I just had a personal experience, you know, with a situation like that. And, you know, sometimes a blood pressure is taken and it is not in the perfect normal range, and automatically, you know, they're diagnosing you with high blood pressure. So I don't know your health situation, you know, but that's something that with a blood pressure situation, you should be monitoring it, you know, at different times of the day, and, you know, and to see where you fall into a certain range. You know,
yeah, I just took it this morning. It was 155 over 100.
Is that with medication or without medication?
Without.
Nothing, you know, now you're getting high. I mean, so realize this, an ideal blood pressure 120 over 80. The high range, okay, is 140 over 90. Okay, you're already at 100, so you're definitely dealing with some issues, you know, with blood pressure there. You know, and again, not knowing all your other parameters as far as what's going on with your health. Are you diabetic at all?
No.
How is your height-weight ratio? How tall are you? How much do you weigh?
I'm 5'6". Okay. I'm losing weight. I'm down to 102 from 128.
100? You're 5'6 and 102 pounds?
Yes, I was at 128 and I lost it, and they don't know why I'm losing it.
Yeah. That's something. How old are you?
63.
Okay. You know, something's going on there. You know, something's going on to lose 20 pounds. You know, I mean, 126 is not an inappropriate weight for a 5'6" woman. Okay. I mean, that's appropriate. But now to go down to 102, you know, you're starting to, you know, there's something going on that's reasoning for losing the weight.
And it's not that I'm eating, because I do eat.
Right. No, I mean, you're right. The fact is that you're eating and you're losing weight. That concerns me, you know, that really concerns me as far as, you know, what's going on, you know, with your overall metabolic health, you know, what's happening, you know, you in the blood pressure, you're saying you do have high blood pressure, you know, what other conditions do you have?
I got to ask another one. Yeah. How does high blood pressure affect your heart? When I get pains in my heart, it feels like a heart attack.
Yeah.
What does high blood pressure have to do with that?
High blood pressure, I mean, your blood pressure is what's, you know, it's the action of your heart pumping that blood through your body. You know, so the more, when the blood pressure goes up, it's making it more difficult for that heart to push that blood. Or it's, you know, it's working harder. You know, so that's the thing. Again, I don't know any of your, you know, health history to really make any kind of a decision on that, but something is going on with you that's creating.
Well, I see a gastritis doctor, and she's even trying to figure it out.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah. What other medications are you taking for what other conditions?
Nothing really.
Nothing.
Just my depression pill.
Okay.
Clonopin. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Besides the two high blood pressure medications.
And that's more, the two blood pressure medications are a more recent thing for you, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I also have to wear a nitro patch.
Okay. Because of the chest pain or the heart pain or whatever that you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Okay. But you actually haven't had a heart attack.
Well, they said I redlined the one day. They said I did. And then they said, no, I didn't. So I don't know. They had to push on my chest to get me to come to.
Okay.
I redlined.
Okay.
So I don't even know, Dr. Kankert. I really don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know what to tell you there. You know, obviously, you know, you have to, you know, you're going to have to keep seeking that help, whether it's, you know, you're going to have to go beyond your primary. I mean, you are with a cardiologist, I assume?
Gastritis.
Yeah, but what about a cardiologist for your heart?
Yes. Dr. Bahama.
Okay. You know, that's, you're in a tough situation because something is underlying all of those problems. And yet someone, they're not revealing that at this point. You know, whether they're
right.
Not looking in the right place or someone's missing something. You know, but
right.
to have a relatively, you know, how much time was it that you lost that 20 pounds, 20 plus pounds?
I'd say about month.
Oh yeah, that's, yeah, again, not good. Not good. Yeah, I don't know.
I had to go out and buy new clothes because my clothes don't fit.
Yeah, well, again, a woman your size that loses 20 pounds, that's going to be a significant change in the clothes sizing. You know, I mean, your pants will fall off of you, you know, with a 20 plus pound weight loss for a woman that's already as small as you are.
I had a weight of 24. I went to get a pair of jeans, and I'm down to a 20, I think it's a 26 or 24. No, it was lower than that. It was lower than my original waist size.
Yeah. You're down to a 24-inch waist size?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had.
Yeah. Oh, that was before the weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still have a pair of them upstairs. I wear them for cleaning the house and stuff.
Yeah.
But every time I have to keep stopping and picking them up.
Has anybody checked your liver function and kidney function?
Yes, the gastritis checked my liver, and I'm waiting for the results on that.
Okay. Well, those are some of the things you've got to look at, too. You know, you're not diabetic.
No.
No? Yeah. You're in a tough situation. You got to keep pursuing it until someone finds an answer. You're too young to be having all those, you know, type of metabolic problems going on, you know, that are, and again, with this significant weight loss in such a short period of time, you know, something's happening there.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but I asked the doctors, and of course, I never get any answers.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. You know, it's a real problem within the healthcare industry is that people don't want to listen. You know, they've got their focus, they're going to do their thing, and then they don't want to be bothered with any, you know.
Well, they act like they know my body better than I know my body. I know my body better than you do.
Yeah. Yeah, of course you do. You know, and that's why sometimes you need to pursue it beyond who you may be seeing. Okay, if you're not getting the right answers, you need to seek another opinion, you know, to with somebody who's going to listen and deal with those situations. You know, for me, you know, picking a new doctor, it's like I'm going to interview them first. You know, I want to see where they stand. You know, it's like, you know, I am paying you to provide a service. Okay, if you and I can't get along, or you don't, you know, acknowledge my concerns or my questions, well, then, you know, you might not be the right fit, you know, and you're going to have to look at somebody else. But you definitely are going to have to pursue that a little bit further, because something is going on underlying that that's creating all these problems, and they're not getting to it.
Well, they did, I forgot what it's called, where they stick the needle up your arm, through your arm to your heart.
An angiogram?
Yeah, I had that done.
Mm-hmm.
And they claimed there's nothing wrong with my heart. My valves are fine. And then all of a sudden they put me on, before they found out about my high blood pressure, they put me on all these different heart pills. So I was trying to get a hold of my cardiologist, and I couldn't get a hold of him. So I went to the office and still didn't get no answers. For 2 weeks, I was waiting for answers.
Yeah.
So I finally called again, and they got an answer because my Fidelis caseworker called them.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally got an answer, and that's when he said I had high blood pressure, this and that. That's what's affecting my heart.
Okay, so the fact that it's good that the angiogram showed that there was no blockages or anything like that. That's a good sign. But something's underlying that high blood pressure. Something's creating that. You know, it's not. That's why I asked your height and weight.
Stress.
Yeah,
I'm not under any stress.
Yeah, but stress is the what I call the catch-all term for when we can't explain to you what's going on, we just say it's stress. Well, what's the stress, and where is it coming from, and what's creating that? You know,
right?
Those are a lot of factors that are going on that don't make sense.
Right.
Don't make sense at all. You know.
I know. Those don't make sense to me either.
Yeah. Yeah. So the only thing I can say to you is like, don't give up. Keep pursuing it because there is something happening to you that. At this point, hasn't been discovered. To just say, "Well, you've got high blood pressure," and throw you on again, they're going to give you two different kinds of blood pressure medication. You know, which again, that also has its side effects and effects on the body. But that doesn't solve the underlying problem of what's creating the high blood pressure.
Right.
You know. So, you know, just to say that, you know, blood pressure is an adaptive process that goes on within your body. You know, when the body is not functioning appropriately, when it is under stress situations, when it is under different, you know, situations, it's going to change. And so that's where you need to look at what's the underlying cause. If you have sustained high blood pressure, you know, you're risking other, you know, long-term heart issues and stuff like that because it's overworking the whole system.
Yeah, well, I took my blood pressure this morning before I took the pill. Now I'll take it after the pill, and it'll be lower all day long.
Of course, because that's what the pill does.
It won't be high like it was.
Right, because the drug is forcing.
As low as it goes is 140 something.
Right, but you have to realize the drug is forcing the pressure down. That's what it's designed for, okay? The problem is it doesn't solve the problem of high blood pressure. It just manages the symptoms of the high blood pressure. You know, it moves it to a lower level to take some of the stress off the heart. But again, it's not finding out the underlying issue.
Right. So, but nobody wants to tell me.
I know. Yeah. That I don't have an answer for. You know, that I don't, I couldn't tell you why nobody wants to tell you, because first of all, nobody's looking at it far enough.
Right.
Yeah.
I appreciate everything from you, Doctor.
Thank you. Yeah. Good luck with that. I mean, I can say, just don't give up on it. You need to, you know, you need to keep pushing until, you know, until someone can give you a logical explanation for what's going on.
Oh, I appreciate all your help. I will do exactly what you said.
Good luck with
that. Thanks for the call, Debbie. Appreciate you. All right. Well, that's one call down. Kind of a sad situation there.
It is. You know, it's frustrating when I hear stories like this. It's like, you know, sometimes you need to listen to people, you know, and they just don't do it. So
right. Well, we have another call coming in. Let's see what's going on with this one. Good morning, caller. You are on the air with Dr. Ken Kerbs.
Good morning. I should have asked the lady that was just on if she got the COVID shot. They associated heart problems with after that COVID shot. My brother had a similar situation. Of course, they said, no, the shot has nothing to do with it.
It's all denial. But, you know, there's more and more data showing it absolutely does have something to do with it.
Right. Yeah. But... okay, but in May now the CDC no longer recommends the COVID vaccines for healthy children and pregnant women.
Right.
Of course, the resistance came right up the next day. Because they said, well, people won't be getting, because I guess the shots are not paid for by insurance unless it's a CDC recommended.
Right.
Now, the cost for, right now, for child vaccines, one dose of the COVID, $57.50. For adult, $136.75. That's a lot higher. Remember, it used to be like $30.
Yeah, because the government was paying for it all. You know?
But what is the real cost of them making it, though?
Yeah.
They still probably made money at $30.
Oh, my goodness. You better believe they did, because it's... cost very little to manufacture that stuff.
Okay, because I saw something on the internet here, called Online Opinion. This is an Australian site. This is from July 17, 23rd, actually. It was an article or a paper by The Lancet. You heard of The Lancet?
Absolutely.
And it's published by cardiologist Dr. Peter McCullough and Yale epidemiologist Dr. Harvey Rush. Basically, it said a review of 325 autopsies after COVID vaccination found that 74% of the deaths were caused by vaccine, but the study was removed within 24 hours. They said there is no peer review. While they wrote in their paper, we are awaiting peer review.
Yeah.
But they took it off the next, within 24 hours. Someone must be watching this stuff that comes out.
You better believe they are. They don't want that kind of information out there. I mean, Peter McCullough is testifying in front of Congress on a regular basis, you know, dealing with all this, you know, nonsense that's going on, and the whole denial factor of, you know, discounting the whole heart connection and the whole issue with the long-term, you know, long-term COVID symptoms, which people are saying are as a direct result of the vaccination.
But there's the rest of the story. Now, this came out in February 2025. The autopsy data are in, what they reveal about COVID-19. So this is the follow-up to study, which most people have never heard about this. It was in Science, peer-reviewed studies, appeared in Science, Public Health, Policy, and Law. And shows that exactly what the first 325 autopsy cases from 44 published studies find, not one or two, 44 published studies finding that 73.9% of deaths were adjudicated by independent physicians as being directly caused or significantly linked to COVID-19 vaccines.
Yeah.
You don't hear anything about that in the paper, do you?
No, and what's amazing is that they're still pushing it. They're still pushing it. That many deaths.
Money. And also, here's some more information. Most deaths occurred within 1 or 2 weeks after the vaccination. They said, oh, now, is that really coincidental? 1 or 2 weeks after the vaccination?
Yeah.
1 or 2 weeks. And also, furthermore, this is 2025, one of the authors, Rose, new analyst of the VIRS autopsy data, and even larger, dramatic decline in autopsy rates despite rising post-vaccine death. Now, normally, if you find all these deaths coming up, you would have more autopsies. They ordered less autopsies. Mm-hmm. Cover-up. Doesn't that sound like a cover-up?
Well, you don't want to know, because the thing is, if the autopsies reveal, you know, the correlation between the two, then obviously that's going to not go in their favor, and that's going to create a real problem. So there's a massive cover-up right now, you know, and this is one of the things that why, you know, I am very excited about what's happening now. Just this past week, you know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. just came out with, you know, the firing of all the 17, advisors on the the vaccine advisory board. He fired them all because of such a massive conflict of interest.
They were all appointed by a Democratic president.
Sure. And they all have ties directly into the vaccine industry. And it's what's interesting is in their tenure, they've never denied the passage of a vaccine. You know, that everything goes. Yet all the data has come out that not a single vaccine out there has ever been randomized controlled trials with a double blind placebo situation. Okay. They're not tested for safety. You know, and yet we just keep ramping it up and ramping it up, and it's just it's out of control.
Here he also said now that when compared to influenza vaccines, VAERS data contained no cases of cardiac arrest or pulmonary embolism as a cause of death following influenza vaccine. Does an influenza vaccine also cause cases of cardiac or not as much?
Well, the thing is, with influenza vaccinations, those are the more classic vaccination, again, for flu. How effective they are, that's very questionable.
But
they're not an mRNA technology. Right. And that's where the big difference comes into play.
Well, I see just recently, too. Now they're pushing that again for others. So it's for HIV. What is up with...
The last thing I saw, there's something like 280 some vaccines that are in the pipeline trying to get through. You know, they've got their, see, this is the problem. In 1986, there was a law passed stating that there is no liability on vaccine manufacturers or doctors that administer the vaccinations if a patient is harmed, injured, or killed as a direct result of the vaccine. So there's no liability. So that has just opened up the doors for these vaccine manufacturers just to go crazy, because they know, you know, if tens of thousands of people die, they can't be held liable. It doesn't affect their profit. You know, you have to go and fight in some other separate court system, you know, to prove everything in order to get any kind of compensation. But you cannot sue directly the vaccine manufacturer or the doctor that administers it. So, I mean, that's a huge conflict of interest. You know, that's like saying all these drugs out on the market, you know, if 1,000 people die from it, you can't hold them liable. You know, if they ever get that passed, if they can get that out, boy, that's going to change the scene now, because, again, you're going to see hopefully in the fall when they start bringing out the data on, you know, autism and all that stuff going on. It's like you're going to see some heads roll. But the media is going to do whatever they can to suppress that information, because they don't want that information getting out.
You've probably seen that AI commercial on TV, or other people have, where they have the babies talk, oh, I'm going to get this vaccine.
Oh, that's yes.
You've seen that?
Yeah. Yeah. It makes me cringe every time I see it. Absolutely cringe. It's hard to believe they do that. But again, you know, the media is pretty savvy. You know, they know exactly how to push the buttons.
But this should be on national headlines about that 74%.
It never will be. It never will be. Vaccine. Again, when you realize that, you know, over 70% of the media is controlled by the pharmaceutical industry, that's never going to happen.
But after 1 or 2 weeks, that's not coincidental.
Yeah. No.
I mean, they expected it happened, what, within hours?
Yeah. A blind man can see that, you know. So, there's a lot of deniers out there. There's far too many deniers.
They never say that, you know, like your first caller there, that, you know, that all that COVID vaccines cause any type of heart issues. Now, I don't know if she had the mRNA.
You know, I didn't even think of asking her at that point, so I don't know, what her history is with that.
You're conditioned like what the pharmaceutical companies want you to be, not to think that in that direction, that, they're safe and effective.
So yesterday I had a situation in my office where a patient was put on a new medication 10 days ago, and she's having all kinds of, increased symptoms of nerve-related pain, muscle pain, and all that stuff. And she questioned the doctor, and they said, oh, no, it was a rheumatologist. She says, no, that would never do it. I literally did a quick Google search, of the drug, and it had a list of the common, complications that occur with it. But then they went to the severe complications, and every one of the severe complications were what she was stating, And when I showed her that, I go, you need to go back and question the situation here, of they're denying that any of that could have created any of your problems. Yet it states, in the record that that is a particular side effect of that drug,
Well, any drug, if you look into the side effects, most people wouldn't take them.
You're exactly right.
What do you call that? It's the cause of or the cure is worse than the disease itself.
Yeah, yeah. If that goes true for not only regular medication, but it goes through for cancer treatments and so many other treatments that are almost barbaric in how they do that. And it's interesting how. There's been the big push of, cost of medications, medications and cancer treatments and stuff in the U.S., are, tens of hundreds of times more expensive than the exact same treatment in another country. Why is the U.S. paying so much, for the same type of a treatment when another country can get that at a much cheaper rate?
All right, caller, thank you so much for calling in. We'd have another caller on hold for about 10 minutes here.
Appreciate it.
We're going to pause for a quick station identification, then we're going to get to caller number 3.
Hometown 1340, WLVL, Lock Point.
Stream us live at WLVL.com.
Good morning, caller. Thank you for your patience. What is your thought, comment, or question, please, for Dr. Ken Kurbs?
Hi, Dr. Ken Kurbs. I just talked to you a few minutes ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I did have both COVID shots.
You did? Okay.
I hit the Johnson & Johnson, which they don't come out with a booster.
Right.
And I went and had a booster, Moderna booster, in my left arm, and I've had nothing but problems with my heart.
Yeah. So see, now that, because the gentleman that just called before you, brought that up, and it's like, yeah, that's the kind of thing that, again, they're going to play a whole denial thing. But I hear this over and over and over again, so a person who doesn't have any kind of a history all of a sudden, has that and geez, develops all kinds of heart problems.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, that's,
I'll tell you one thing, I'll never get another one.
I would hope not. I would hope not. And hopefully that, hopefully as this more information comes out, people really begin to start questioning this instead of blindly taking those things. You were led to believe that that was going to save your life. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what you were led to believe, that if you got it, you were protected and you weren't going to spread it to anybody. And again, they found out that was the biggest lie. It still spread.
Well, when I first got it and I came home, I slammed. I mean, my body just slammed on the couch and I couldn't move.
God. Yeah.
In that one shot.
Yep. I absolutely hate hearing things like this, because you just hear too much of it.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking.
Just too much of it,
All right. Well, thanks again, Debbie. Appreciate you.
Appreciate it. Thanks for getting back to us on that.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you.
All right. So that,
that answered that question, didn't it? Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
It sure did.
It's like, and again, that's the type of thing that nobody wants to address. They can't give her any answers, but they won't even go into addressing that type of a situation. And as she said, she's only 63 years old. She's not, she still has the potential of a lot of good years ahead of her, and yet,
yes,
you know, that's it's obviously significantly affecting that.
That's right. 20, 30 yeah. years
yeah.
could still be going on there. So yeah. But we'll just have to see what happens when she goes back to her primary and asks questions and maybe gets answers and yeah. hopefully can.
I can almost bet that if she challenges them on that question, that there will be absolute denial that, you know, they'll say, oh, no, that's not possible. It's
right.
just not possible.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, I still see, I just had the experience again in the medical field about the whole cholesterol denial issue, you know, with cholesterol is the sole source of, you know, why people have heart problems and atherosclerosis and things like that. And it's like, that stuff has all been proven not, you know, even, you know, they've even been saying that, you know, saturated fat is not a nutrient of consequence or of concern when it comes to cholesterol and atherosclerosis. So, and yet you still got these. I mean, I just talked to a young doctor who hasn't been out very long. Still, as soon as he saw cholesterol level over 200, was just going crazy. You know,
right.
It's like, God, wake up, people.
Yeah.
You know, you need to start getting on the bandwagon and getting yourself current instead of just, you know, just passing off the buck on everything that's shoved down your throat in medical school.
Yeah.
Because again, medical schools are totally bought out by pharmaceutical industries. So, you know, they're the ones that fund that. So, you know, they're going to teach them exactly what they want them to do. You know, it's really interesting that doctors are not in any way trained on vaccinations, their ingredients, or anything like that. The only thing they are required to do is to memorize the schedule and make sure it happens. Okay. They have no training on what's involved with it.
Hmm.
So I find that kind of fascinating.
So the pharmacist knows more about it than...
Yeah, and I mean, the lay person can know more about it. Just Google a vaccine and its ingredients, and
right.
you can see what's going on and see what the potential side effects are of those
mm-hmm.
things. And when you're sitting there giving sometimes 4 to 8 vaccinations in a child, you know, simultaneously... Come on, please don't tell me that there's not going to be something happening. You know, one of the things that one of the biggest concerns in child mortality is a condition called SIDS, or sudden infant death syndrome. We've all heard of that situation. Well, many years ago, Japan literally eliminated children do not get vaccinated until after the age of 2 years old, and totally eliminated the whole situation of SIDS. You know. So it's kind of interesting that they're delaying that situation. And yet what happens in our country? Within the first 24 hours, they're given a hepatitis B vaccination, which is a disease that can only be transmitted by sexual transmission or IV drug use. But we're giving that to a brand new baby who just came out of the womb. You know, I find that kind of a big, again.
Why? I don't get it.
I say, because my theory is, again, you create the problem before they can, you know, you literally do. Because now what's the big push? They're vaccinating pregnant women. You know, they want to vaccinate pregnant women with all these, you know, with the DTaP vaccine and with the, you know, flu vaccine and COVID vaccine. They want to vaccinate them while they're pregnant. In their eyes is to protect the baby, which what's happened is the miscarriage rate has skyrocketed, you know, as a result of that, you know, with women that are getting this stuff. So it's just so unnecessary.
Criminal.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah,
you can say that.
I'm going to say that.
And that's why I'm hoping that some dramatic changes are going to be made. I think the person in the head of the HHS is the right person, you know, who can start exposing this stuff and getting things on the right track.
Good grief. 716-433-1433 is the number, ladies and gentlemen. You too can call. There's plenty of time left. 716-433-1433. We have just a quick station identification. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting from Lockport, New York, and proud of it.
Hometown 1340 WLBL Lockport.
And here we are. That was quick, huh, Doc?
Yeah.
Just long enough to catch your breath and be thinking about what's the... what's going on with the Curbs family clan? You've got...
Oh my God.
You've got a pile of kids and a bunch of things that are always happening.
You're
never bored with this family.
So, two daughters are now living in Thailand. So, my daughter Hannah moved there back at the end of April. And so she's starting her new life there, hopefully for not terribly long. And then my son is actually going to be leaving his position now and moving to Norway. And one of the reasons for that is because his fiancée, who he, my son is engaged to, a Norwegian, and has been, they have been in a relationship for 5 years now, and she has been denied 2 visas now to come to this country.
Why?
So, one of them was, she first tried on a work visa, and that was denied because the main company she works for is based out of Norway, even though she works for a Texas-based branch of the company. So they denied her that. And then she decided to go back to school and get another degree. So she applied for a student visa to come here and study at Slippery Rock University to get an additional degree. And they decided that she didn't have that, that because she is engaged to my son, that that wasn't a good enough reason. And so they denied her the student visa. And of course, with all the controversy going on right now in our political scene with, you know, student visas and all this stuff, it really creates a problem. So
it sure does. Yeah, you know, and that's what, you know, no good deed goes unpunished.
I know.
As far as trying to come into this country the right way.
Right, which is what they were doing, all the legal and appropriate way.
Right.
But, yeah, it's incredibly frustrating for them, you know, to have to deal with this. You know, so it'll be interesting because by the end of this year, I'll have 3 children living out of the country.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know. Yeah, that's different, isn't it?
Yeah. Not what I expected, but
no.
But it's like, you know, they're all living their lives, you know, and that's something I always encouraged is for them to, you know, to do what they need to do,
right.
You know, to not only be successful, but to be happy in their lives and pursue that. And, you know, who would have thought my daughter would have been living in Thailand for 10 years and, you know, and loving it, you know.
For sure. Now, doctor, if say your listeners out there and they would like to contact you and get a consultation, what's the process like for that?
So, you know, the best way is, you know, contacting my office directly, which is, you know, 434-0671. You can talk to Breanne, or, you know, if you just, if again, when we're not in the office, like now, is leave a message and we'll get back to you as soon as we're back. And then, you know, an initial consultation, you know, initial new patient consultation and exam in my office is about an hour to an hour and a half, you know, to evaluate your situations, go through the necessary diagnostics that I do and, you know, come to a decision as far as, first of all, what's going on, what's creating your problem, and then discuss what we're going to do, you know, down the road. And then, you know, if you so decide that that's the direction you want to go, then we begin treatment. You know, my offices are located over at 741 Davison Road. I've been in that office now for 10 years already this year. You know, it's hard to believe, for me to believe.
That's something.
That 10 years have already gone by in that particular office. But anyway, Breanne is, you know, my receptionist has been with me for 3 years now. And it's just, you know, it's a great team. Her and I, you know, click very well. It, you know, works really smoothly. And she can be very accommodating and make sure that most everything works, you know.
That's what you need.
Yeah.
Somebody that can help make the, make the days go a little bit
wonderful.
Smoother.
Yeah, just wonderful. You know, pleasant to be around, pleasant to work with, pleasant for with people. It's just, you know, sometimes you get into these office situations where they, you know, you walk into a healthcare office and, you know, it's like sign your name and they shut the window in front of you and, you know, have no connection at all with the people that are coming in.
Right.
You know, they're clueless as far as that goes. That doesn't happen in my office, so. There are many times I've walked out and Breanne's out in the reception room sitting with some patient, chatting away and, you know.
Right, just easing their mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Making them comfortable.
You know, just, again, it's about building a relationship with people, you know. You know, it becomes more of a, you know, there's situations, typically every other Wednesday morning in my office at 8 o'clock, there's a group of 4 people that have all become friends because they come in at the same time, you know. And so it's hilarious to see when they come in, you know, because they all wait for each other. You know, no one leaves until everybody's done.
Oh,
you know,
fine.
It's just, it's really kind of, it's kind of fun.
Yeah. So they can then go out to breakfast. And,
Two of them always go out to breakfast. And then, you know, they it's just, like I said, it's a very different atmosphere.
Oh, that's great. 433-1433 is the number, folks, if you'd like to get through and just say hi to the good doctor. It's been... It's what a run. How many years have you been on the radio here now, Doc?
Let's see. 34 years.
34
years in March. This past March was 34 years that I've been on consistently.
You've been on here more than the rest of us combined.
I bet I have.
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Yep. Started with Clip Smith, was the original host of show back in 1991. Yeah, 1991. Yeah.
He was a character, wasn't he?
He was a great guy.
Super
he was a
smart.
He had a photographic memory. He was one of the smartest human beings I've ever met.
Yep.
Just a personable guy. He was a big man, though. He was very intimidating. He was so big.
Yep.
But yeah, super guy.
Yep. I met him when I was just a little kid. My grandparents had a family roadside stand for fresh produce and farming. He had a 45 acre farm. Mm-hmm. And he stopped by in this big old black Chrysler car, big as life. He comes out and he was looking for directions to a restaurant that was just about another mile down the road. Had he gone a mile. But I met him then and I was like, oh, that's the guy on TV.
Yeah.
And I was just a little guy. You're right. He was a monster of a man.
But when you get to know him, he was just this very gentle soul that was just, like I said, I had such a wonderful relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had to stop being the host because at that time he was running for mayor of Lockport.
Right.
So there was a conflict of interest of him being on the air, you know, with him also running for political office. But then later he became a patient of mine and we just had a wonderful, wonderful relationship. So I really enjoyed him.
Yeah, he was a good guy. Yeah. What about some of the other hosts? Did you ever have Good Neighbor Dave as your host?
Good Neighbor Dave. He was my longest running host.
Was he?
Yes. Good Neighbor Dave and I, again, had a very, very special relationship. And, you know, it's so sad that he's passed now. And him and I, he was the longest running of anybody.
Right. Yeah. And he really was just the nicest guy you ever got.
Yeah, and him and I belonged to the Kiwanis Club together, so we were involved outside of this. And you know, he was just a good guy. He was the right person. He was definitely Good Neighbor Dave. Okay, that whoever coined that name for him, you know, it was very appropriate. You know, it fit him.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let's see. Who else did you have? Ron. How many? A couple of Rons, right?
Ron Raitz.
Yeah.
Paula Benet.
Paula, that's right. I remember Paula Benet.
Yeah, Paula, wonderful host.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? There were some other. I'm forgetting their names. There was a John.
And the sports guy.
And there was
the guy just before me, the sports announcer.
Oh, God.
I was on my way in the door and he was on his way out. Yeah.
I'm going totally blank right
now. Yeah, he went.
But again, another super guy. I loved. That's a guy who really, really did his homework beforehand. You know,
right.
He would come in and, you know, he always had something to challenge me on. You know, so it was really, really good. And I'm so sorry. I'm just going absolutely blank. My senior moment here.
Yeah, it's okay.
As I, Norm.
Yeah, Norm Palmer.
Yeah. Yes. So there it came.
Yeah, I mean, he's really knowledgeable in quite a few different
super
areas
knowledgeable,
too.
Yeah. And he was the face of WLVL sports forever.
He was. Yes, absolutely.
You know, I mean, my daughter played basketball at Lockport High, and I mean, he was always there. And you know, he was the announcer, and it was just you know, did a great job.
Yep, back when WLVL did live sporting events in the high school.
Yep, they don't do that anymore at all.
No.
It's too bad.
It is, but. Yeah.
It was kind of a unique thing, you know, that
WLVL
is kind of a unique thing to our relatively small community that we have our own, you know, quote, hometown radio station. I mean, it's just it's nice that we have that, you know.
It is, and we're so grateful that Bill Yonke has decided to maintain it as, you know, Niagara County's voice.
Right, and I think it's appropriate. You know, I don't know the inside workings of the business of the radio station, but, you know, I've enjoyed being on this, and I've been connected with this radio station since 1985, so 40 years this year that I've been directly connected with this.
Wow, that's a long time.
You know, myself and your past Paula Falcioni, who was a rep here for many, 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 many years, you know, was my, you know, rep for probably 35 years.
Yeah. Hey, we have another call coming in.
Yeah.
Since the last couple of minutes here. Good morning, John. What's going on?
Oh, not too much. How are you, Eric?
Oh,
Dr. Ken?
Good morning.
How about John Raymond or Tim Schmidt?
Tim Schmidt. Is Tim Schmidt, did he move
he was
to Arizona?
Red-haired guy. He was
did
the
he move to,
the,
he's in Texas.
Yeah,
now,
he moved down to Texas.
But did he go to Arizona at one point?
I believe he did, yeah.
Yes,
he's been all around.
Yeah, he's a sports guy, too.
Right. He was a host for a while. It was a short time there, you know, that he was with me, Who was the other one you said?
John Raymond.
Nope.
He was a news guy.
I
he
think
did
John,
dialogue.
John one time subbed in, but I don't think he never was like a regular host.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So how's the gardening coming this year?
God. Oh, you had to stick that stab in. Like, this has been the toughest year ever for me. You know, we've had some family crises with both my mother and my mother-in-law who have had significant fractures in the last month. And it has really gotten me behind. I'm very stressed right now as far as that goes because...
Well, it was a late start.
It was a very late start. It was difficult for me to get my lawn under control. I still haven't gotten flowers in the ground. The garden walk is coming up in 4 weeks, and I'm getting a little crazy. So I've actually got a tour of the Niagara County Master Gardeners coming in next week, and it's like, hey, it is what it is, you know. Yeah. My gardens aren't a contest. It's my, you know, I'm a one-man show, so it's like it is what it is, and, you know, it doesn't always look perfect. That's for sure.
Right.
But, yeah, but I'm getting there.
I'm way behind my life. I've only got a few flowers in the ground.
Yeah. I'm hoping that if the weather would hold out for me, you know, that's my biggest issue because when I'm not, like right now, once I leave here, I have to go right to help take care of my mom for a little while before I can get back home and then start doing some work. But so many times when I get free time, it's raining.
Well, it's either too wet or it's dry and hard and it can't be worked up.
Right. It's hard. So I've got a tremendous amount of weeding to do. And yeah,
well, the weeds are growing great.
Yeah, there's no problem with that. There's no problem with that.
They sure are.
They need no tending. They just come on. I wish the rest of my gardens would be as easy to maintain as the weeds are.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Oh man.
It's all good.
Yep.
Like I said, I just when people come,
you guys have a happy Father's Day Sunday.
Oh, you too. My goodness, that's right.
Yeah, 2 days.
Yeah, 2 days. Yep. Holy cow!
Oh, good grief.
I do have 5 kids, so
right.
Yeah.
Hopefully they acknowledge me, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they're great. They're great. So I have no problem with that.
All right, John. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you.
Right. Hopefully we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll be there.
All right.
Hopefully you are too.
Take care, John.
Right. All right. See you soon.
Bye.
Oh man. Down to the final minute, Dr.
Final
Ken.
Minute. Are we there already?
Yes. Yeah. Final thoughts.
I mean, you know, I wish people would question things more. You know, the vast majority of people are so complacent, you know, and they, you know, they're supposed experts out there and they just take their word and never challenge or question anything that they have to say. And that's just not the way I am. I've never been that way and I just choose not to be that way. You know, in order for me to accept something, you better prove it to me. And we saw it happen in, you know, this last 5 years with this pandemic and all this stuff. It was just lie after lie after lie, misinformation after misinformation, just devastation in people's lives, physically and mentally as a result of that. And it was so unnecessary. It was just so unnecessary. And
it really was.
Unfortunate. So if anything else, just please, you know, question what's going on out there. Don't accept the status quo.
Broadcasting from Lockport, New York, and proud of it.
Hometown 1340 WLV.